Jesus, the Perfect Sacrifice, Commentary for the February 26, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." Hebrews 10, verses 4 through 7. This week, the news carried the story of 10 stabbings in the New York City subway system and an additional assault with an axe. If we treat one another with such brutality, how much more so the defenseless animals in our care? When humanity was created, they were given dominion over the earth and its animals. This was not to be a rulership of tyranny or abuse, but a kind and compassionate benevolence personified by Jesus as a good shepherd who would give his life to save his sheep. We can still see manifestations of that original relationship between humanity and the animal kingdom when we look into the trusting, loving eyes of an animal we have cared for and nurtured from birth. They have received only kindness and good things at our hands. We have given them no reason to expect anything different. Then one day we walk into their pen and lop their head from their body as though no relationship of trust ever existed. One might justify this to feed their family, but for millennia, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of animals have been slaughtered for religious reasons. Beginning with Abel, who offered a lamb in sacrifice, and continuing all the way to the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in 70 CE, the slaughter of animals has been strongly associated with worship of God. The belief that this bloodshed was to somehow compensate for our failings, our sins, kept the practice going. But enigmatically, despite our faithfulness in destroying so many innocents in our pursuit of righteousness, that righteousness eluded us. For if we had achieved that end, the sacrifices would have no longer been necessary. Instead, we came to view it as an easy out for our sins. In the hardness of our hearts, we saw it like going to the confessional with a priest. It was not a deterrent to sin, and may even facilitate it as a ready purgative for any feelings of guilt that may cause us sleepless nights. One might see how the relationship between priest and parishioner could devolve in this way, since saying a few prayers and burning a few candles is a low price to pay for transgression. That system causes little in the way of physical harm beyond slight inconvenience to the priest or the one seeking absolution. However, that is not the case with the wholesale and endless slaughter of animals to obtain that absolution. While the people may have felt their guilt assuaged, at least temporarily, by those sacrifices, those being sacrificed suffered great mortal harm. Abel may have felt the horridness of sin when he sacrificed that lamb back at the beginning. But by the time of Christ, the sacrifices had become perfunctory, with little recognition of either the suffering or the uselessness of it all as a palliative for sin. It was not seen as sin's deterrent, but simply as a price to pay for normal relationships between people. Merchants still used cheating measures. The wealthy still enslaved the poor. Crime did not end, but if they cut God in on the action with a lamb or a goat from time to time, he was cool with it, or so they thought. The priesthood had become so much a part of this corruption, they had become blind to God's will in all of this, even encouraging corruption openly in the temple precincts. A system that may have begun with seeking absolution before God became one that sought the favor of the priesthood and provided an avenue for political power, for priests, and for those wealthy among the people who sought influence and political endorsement. God did an end run around that corrupt priesthood by calling his prophets to bring the people back to a proper relationship to God and one another. Thanks to the perceived absolution offered by sacrifices, they had lost the idea of love for one another and had become indifferent to the idea of loving God beyond what they thought others or God could do for them in the here and now. The idea of mercy and compassion died out of their hearts, and many suffered under the oppression of the few. The wealthy felt that their wealth was proof of God's favor instead of evidence of power brokers' gratitude for their contributions to support a corrupt system. But the prophets, called directly by God, were often opposed by the priesthood, persecuted, imprisoned, and even murdered by those whose power relied on that corrupt system. Ironically, those who relied on those priestly sacrifices to buy them respectability were not above the sacrificing of a prophet now and then. Once upon that path, there was little incentive to demur, even with the Messiah in the crosshairs. Believing that his death was important for the nation's survival, they had no idea of the import of that belief. The prophet Hosea, writing in the 8th century BC, told the people that God desired mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus quoted the prophet twice per the Gospels, but I suspect that it was mentioned more often than that during the 3.5 years Jesus ministered to the people. Jesus also mentioned the hardness of people's hearts, an indication of the need for compassion, mercy, and empathy. How sad that a sacrificial system that was popularly understood to be palliative for the guilt of sin could not instill compassion and love for one another. For this reason, it was powerless to do anything about sin. Paul wrote in his letter to the Roman church that all have sinned, but the ongoing sacrifices at the temple testified that the sinning never stops. A quick fix via a butchered animal, in the end, was no fix at all. Something more was needed. Isaiah, a prophet in the next generation after Hosea, also recognized the problem. He pointed out the irony of those who had plenty, giving up enjoying it with a fast, and believing they were doing good while ignoring those who were in dire need of what they were capriciously giving up for God. Sacrifice in any form that fails to secure justice and mercy for those oppressed is at its foundation narcissistic, a belief that God must reward me with his favor, though I do nothing compassionate for another. The prophet Amos, in a passage quoted by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream, cries out against the self-righteous who continue to oppress their fellows while believing they are God's favorites. But those cries fell on mostly deaf ears as the wealthy looked to their prosperity as proof of God's favor and could not entertain the idea that their spiritual condition was more wretched than they believed. This is all a cautionary tale for us. We may have trouble seeing it because we know the sacrificial system at the temple ended almost 2,000 years ago. While there are still non-Christian cultures offering animal sacrifices, that's not us. But in our blindness, we may fail to see the forest for the trees. We may be just as guilty of presuming on the death of Jesus on Golgotha as the ancient Jews were of presuming on those animal sacrifices. We may feel that because we identify as Christian, everything is fine. We may be tempted to see all that we own as proof of God's blessing rather than a temptation to fall. We can be tempted to look down on those not similarly blessed as spiritually unclean and lacking God's favor. We may state those who do not work should not eat as we shut tight our heart's door to their need. God does not need our sacrifices when we neglect mercy and compassion. As the psalmist states, I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Psalm 50, verses 9 through 13. When we understand this, our sacrifices for God seem infinitely small in His eyes compared to how great those sacrifices for our neighbors appear. The blood of animals does nothing to put us right about this. But the sacrifice of Christ opens the door to receive the Holy Spirit. Once that door is opened to our hearts, our stony, compassionless hearts can be replaced with hearts of flesh, sensitive to the needs of humanity and what God has provided us to serve that need. Through Christ, the Spirit can set us free from the prison of selfishness we have built. May God grant us the ability to see opportunities to extend mercy to one another. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find other podcasts, as well as the written copy of this podcast, with the scripture footnotes supporting the thoughts shared here, at our website at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.